Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this May 13th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here, being joined right now by our great friend, David Farnborough with Realty Radio. David, how you been?
I've been well, thank you. It's wonderful to be with you again, James, and nice to be presenting Realty Radio as a podcast.
Yeah, it's fun. And where I, you know, I've really been enjoying the conversations with you, David. I think that they're only going to grow and get stronger with this format. And one of the things that I appreciate is, while I've been talking about this topic for many years on the radio, I feel like you look at things with a different angle at times or bring something to the fold that we haven't had a chance to really dive into. Today, I think, is a similar topic, and in part because it's such an ever-changing topic, a fluid topic, where we're going today.
Right. And I do try and put an analytical slant on things, but also my aim when I'm on these segments with you is the same when I am working with my clients. It's what's the best thing I can do for the people who I'm serving. So what I'm trying to do is to say something that's interesting to the person who's listening today.
Yeah. And speaking of, we're going to lock in on local right away to get into a quick market analysis of this here area.
Yeah, I was looking at the figures for Wisconsin Rapids 54494, which is just the east side, and I was looking at the year-on-year price increase, and that has come out at just above 9%. Now, that to me is entirely predictable. It is consistent with the price increases we've had for the last couple of years. I remember I was sitting here about a year ago and we were looking at the same figure, about a 9% increase in 54494. And the prediction from Zillow at that point was that we were only going to have about 3% increase for the next year, which is the one that I was just reporting on. So, in fact, they constantly underpredict the increase we're going to have. So right now, they're actually looking at a 0.5% decrease for the next year, but I just don't see it. And the reason for that is that we still have too many buyers and not enough homes on the market. And while that equilibrium is imbalanced, we're going to continue to have house prices going up and we're going to continue to have homes selling.
Yeah.
And I was just talking about 54494. You see a very similar picture in 54495. In fact, sometimes you see a slightly larger price increase, just fractionally, because the house prices were a little lower there and people see that as an opportunity to get a bigger bang for their buck. And it's going to be similar in all our local municipalities like Pittsville, Vesper, Port Edwards, Beeren. And then when you go to places like Stevens Point and Marshfield and Rome, it's going to be the same sort of story. You sometimes see it's going to be 10% or 8% instead of 9%, but there's not a huge difference in central Wisconsin. Now, when you look at the national picture, you see all sorts of things happening, and you see things happening in big cities with very large populations, which can skew the averages. But what we're concerned about here is central Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and we're seeing a healthy price increase. It's not huge. It's not going to overinflate prices, but it does mean that if you buy a home now, then you're looking at a reasonably good investment.
Yeah, as I said at the beginning of this, I think that real estate is interesting just as a whole. And like most of you out there seeing our national news or local news, and I see reports about real estate, I'm paying attention, I'm reading it. But I've also learned from JR and you and many others over the years that there are few industries that are more case by case and local than real estate. And what national numbers might be telling you is not probably going to be telling you a local story. It's good information. I think it's interesting on some levels, but I don't know that how much it would apply to you on a local level. It depends. It's a case by case thing.
Yeah, that's right. And I do often have people say to me, oh, I read in the, in Forbes magazine that real estate prices are plummeting. And I think, well, I better look at that. And I look at it and it's about house prices in Oregon.
Right.
And yeah. It's something that's completely dissociated from what we do here in central Wisconsin.
It's why it's such an important, I think, talking to your local realtor and making sure that you're getting that correct information of the local area and where you are looking to buy or sell that home. It's such a vital part of this.
And it's also why you generally should go to a local realtor. Now, I'm not saying you can't do a good job in another town. You know, I do help people sell houses in different areas. But when I do that, I have to put a lot of research into the market to make sure I'm giving them accurate advice. And so sometimes, you know, if you're thinking, well, my brother's a realtor and he lives in Madison, maybe he could help me sell my house. Well, he could, but it's going to be a lot harder for him to do that than someone who's based in our area.
David, why do some homes in central Wisconsin sit on the market while others sell quickly? What are some of the reasons behind that?
Well, we've got a range of reasons, and I have heard it brought down to just two by people. And usually this is the simplified version. Either it's overpriced or there's something wrong with it. But that's not the whole picture. So looking at price, the market is pretty price sensitive in our area, and buyers do now have access to market analysis through the internet. Now, it's not always going to be accurate, because when you look at the Zestimate on Zillow, thing to remember is that the bots have not been inside the property, so they don't know that the homeowner has added an extra bedroom. They don't know that you know, all the kitchen countertops from the 1960s have been replaced by quartz. They don't know that all the carpets have been taken out and beautiful new tile and laminate flooring has been put in. So you can't rely 100% on those online estimators, but buyers do use them. And if the price is way off what an online estimator says, they're going to be saying, maybe this one is not worth what they're asking. I'm going to wait for it to come down. Pricing home is not an exact science. Realtors spend a lot of time doing market analyses, and what they'll do is they'll look at the prices that comparable homes have sold for over the past 6 months to a year. And then they'll look at what's currently on the market. So they look at what the competition is. And they will then give the homeowner the advice of where they think the house should be priced. Now, some sellers will use that information, but don't forget, it's the seller who prices the house, not the realtor. Mm-hmm. So the realtor will give the seller their advice, and the seller might choose to do something different. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. It's their home. And sometimes they do try and go for a higher price. And that may mean that it will sit for a little bit longer. Hmm. So the second thing was condition.
Right.
And there are the obvious things, like if there's something that you can see that is definitely a problem, like particularly if the roof is obviously in need of replacement, that's something a lot of buyers will know straight away. Same goes for siding and windows. But on the interior, it tends to be more cosmetic things that people will object to. And sometimes it's not even things that would cost that much money to fix. Mm-hmm. It'll be little things like there'll be, say, if you've got two bedrooms and you've decorated them to match the tastes of your children. So you've got one which is dark green with silver glitter on the top.
Right.
And then the other one is dark purple with a black ceiling. Those things are going to put off buyers, even though the buyers could remedy them fairly easily. So there's a lot of presentational tips that will make a big difference. So we're not just talking about the actual fabric of the property and the things that might be wrong with it in that sense. It's also the presentation.
when people are looking at these photos and seeing some of that, they really want to be able to envision, okay, I could see my table lamp being over here. I could see my family photos over here. It's a little harder to do that when there's already stuff up. So it feels like a good idea to, when you're taking these photos or doing this, to be able to try to give a little bit of a blank canvas in some ways.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's one of the things that I try and work with my sellers on. I will offer to pay for a staging consultation with a home stager, and that expert will come in and will give advice on things that the seller can do to make their home more neutral. So you're not talking about it being empty, because that can appeal, that can be very unhomelike. So that what they'll try and do is to advise you on the most neutral decor to use. Mm-hmm. So somebody might have a wall of their house and they've got a couple of bits of neutral decor, and then they've got a, I don't know, a hunting trophy, picture of a politician and a religious thing, and maybe a wall of photos of their family. Mm. And all those things really we advise people to take down, because we don't want people to be distracted by those things. We want them to just glance at the neutral decor, think, oh, okay, I can put my baseball Hall of Fame autographs here, or whatever they may want, mm-hmm. and then move on to the next section to see what the bathroom's like.
Kind of, man, now I like the idea of a wall of baseball. I like that. Now you got it in my head. one of the things that I was referencing before, of the way you see things and think of stuff that I don't always think of, or I think, you know, just in general, we haven't had a chance to talk about in this show, that is right here with the, could limited showing times hold back potential buyers?
Oh, absolutely.
I wouldn't have thought of that, but that's, yeah, I could see that that could be an issue.
Yes, I have had that in one or two cases. That sometimes the hardest situation to deal with is if a home is tenanted, because it may be outside of the seller's control, the sort of access that the tenants can give. And sometimes it's more outside their control, how they place their possessions in the house. So it might not present it exactly as the seller wants. So that can be tricky when you've got tenants you're dealing with. But sometimes I've had situations where people work nights and they're going to be sleeping during the day. And that can actually cause problems with showing. So what we try and do is work with people and say, well, you know, maybe we could have maybe there's a couple of days of the week when you're not working nights, and we could mark those days down that daytime showings are allowed. And we would really just try and tweak it to optimize. But the more that you block out, almost all of our showings are booked online. And when you look at that calendar and you see a lot of spaces blocked out, it can be very difficult, because you're usually dealing with buyers who also have limited time. They've got jobs. Sometimes they're coming from out of town, and you just want to try and make it as available to them as possible.
Definitely one of those situations, and I think the more we can introduce this more and more in realty, the better. Giving both parties each other some grace and some understanding when it comes to that scheduling and all that. It goes a lot farther, and I imagine makes the process that much smoother. We're speaking with David Farnborough, part of Realty Radio, one of our favorite segments around here, and getting into some of these quick marketing tips and some tools of the trade, if you will, and about minor repairs and cosmetic issues. How much can that hold back people, David? You've touched on this a little bit.
Well, it's actually quite surprising how this, how much difference the little things make. So, for example, one of the things that I've seen that is the most off-putting but costs the least to rectify is scratch plates on power outlets and light switches. If you go around a house that looks perfectly good and you just remove all those scratch plates, maybe because you're going to be painting, and then you don't put them back, people come in and subconsciously the house looks more like a project than a home. Now, those scratch plates cost 50 cents, you know, maybe a bit more if you want the high quality ones. But those little things can make a big difference, because it's a question of subconscious perception. like I said before, things like painting can make a huge difference. So you might have a nice color on your walls, but you might have a huge patch where you've taken down some shelves. Well, really, you need to go over that and just touch up. And those things don't cost a great deal of money, nor very much effort. But putting in a week of work, maybe a few $100 in materials, can make a huge difference.
Could lead to a much better sale for you in selling it. It seems like such a smart investment. It also, coming back to what you said about time and some of these things, understandable that some of this stuff doesn't always get done, but all the more reason why. Because one thing that I think a theme in a lot of what we've been talking about here is doing everything you can to kind of take care of any questions that might subconsciously come up in people's minds. I think approaching this, if you're selling a home, I think it's a good idea to approach this like you are buying a home. What is a buyer looking for? What does a buyer want?
Right.
And some of that. And really looking at it from that lens, that view.
Right. And that's where your realtor can help you, because 9 times out of 10, your realtor doesn't just work with sellers, they also work with buyers. So they know, I know when I go around a house with a buyer, the things that the buyer is going to look at first, in many cases, are the kitchen and then the bathroom. And the thing they want to see is that those rooms are clean. Mm. Now, if the bathroom and the kitchen need cleaning, that's probably going to take you a couple of hours to clean. Now, if you do that yourself before you put your house on the market, it gives such a better impression than if you'd leave it undone. And the buyer then comes in and they picture themselves having to scrub and scrub for a couple of hours after they've bought the house. Hmm. Now, most of us will clean the kitchen anyway once we've bought the house.
Yeah.
But people don't want to think that they've got to do some work.
Hmm. And finally, David, talking a bit about the marketing plan and if that's missing anything, I think that this is a great way to wrap on this topic.
Yeah, there's actually two components to this. The first is the photography. It really behoves a decent home to have good photography, and preferably that would be professional photography, because people don't want to buy a house where you've got lopsided photos. You've got photos that are obviously taken on a cheap cell phone.
I get my thumb in there sometimes.
I actually saw a listing where the realtor's thumb was in.
Oh, no.
And it's actually currently online.
Oh, no.
And I thought, how could you do that in 2025?
That's rough.
But it does happen. You need to have good photos. And then preferably you'd also have, and one of the things that we offer at Rapids Homes is 3D virtual tours, so that buyers, if they're not located locally, can do a walkthrough of the house and they can see how the rooms relate to one another. And then related to that is floor plans. Floor plans offer an additional perspective to a buyer. And then finally, if the home warrants it, so really if you've got a large piece of land, or if it's next to a lakefront or river, then you would ideally have drone photography in there as well. So the photography really makes a difference. There are many homes which are actually quite beautiful, but they're just not photographed properly, and they then won't get the exposure. The other thing is making sure that the marketing gets to where it's supposed to get to. Mm-hmm. So 20 years ago, we would put ads in the Tribune or in that Homes magazine that the Tribune used to put out once a month. They used to even put them in storefronts of realtor offices. The market moves totally differently from that now. It moves faster, and it is guided more by what people can see on their cell phone. I'm not even going to say computer, because people tend not to sit at their computer looking for properties. They sit on their cell phone and they scroll. So if your property is not reaching Zillow, Redfin, Realtor.com, and those online platforms, then you're not going to find your buyer potentially. it also needs to get to the big franchises. So, you know, I'm an independent real estate brokerage, but I get my listings on all the big franchise web pages as well. Also, you should be going to all of the social media apps.
Yeah.
So you should be getting your home seen on Facebook, Instagram, all those commonly used platforms.
You know, with an industry that one of the bigger fears is the unknown. In this day and age, so much is out in the open. And I think it makes for a more healthier and better industry, certainly, not, you know, outside of the some of the factors we talked about earlier, and certainly inventory, like we've talked about many times in that. Just the industry itself and the buying, the selling, some of that. I feel like a lot of the gray area has gotten cleared out. And so much of that has become clear with the conversation we've been having. Also, all these things are so fixable. You know, if you are currently have a house on the market and you listen to this and you're like, oh, no, one of those things I'm guilty of or something, you can go back. You can work on these things. And I encourage you to reach out to your realtor or a realtor in general and to find out more. And I happen to know a pretty good one. I get to talk to him once a month and everything. David, if people have follow-up questions, would like to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, well, the easiest way is to text or call me on 715-323-8594, but they can find me quite easily on Facebook. Just look for David Farnborough Realtor, or they can go to www.rapidshomes.com. Do we say the www these days?
I don't know. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. I think you're fine either way. It's a good question, though. It's a very good question.
It's one of the most cumbersome things to say, isn't it? www.
Yeah, it feels good sometimes, too. You like to say it sometimes. We'll dissect that the next time we get together, David.
We will.
Always appreciate hanging out with you. Thank you so much for what you put into the community and hanging out with us. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
And thank you for joining the conversation here at WFHR's Rapids Report.